Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Just look for the big Odyssey app, download it, look for WILK News Radio, favorite us, and that's it. You got us, worked seamlessly with your CarPlay. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play WILK News Radio, and you'll hear us live right then and there. You can also get us anywhere you get favorite podcasts and iHeartRadio platforms. So we're everywhere. You got no excuse. Turn us on to some of your friends as well and family. Let them know about the Rob O'Donnell Show, 3 to 6 weekdays. Thanks for joining us the third hour here. So we talked about it yesterday, and I really didn't have a lot of time to dive into the executive order on the burning of the flags. I did say the PR portion of it was brilliant, to where he had everybody on the side of the aisle, mainstream media, advocating for burning the flag, saying, oh, well, it's just an embedded constitutional right. Well, it is and it isn't, and we're going to get into that. So I did have time to dive into that. And the more I looked into the executive order and what it really looks to do, it was quite interesting. And yes, will this end up in the courts? Absolutely will, which is part of the dynamic of it. They want it to end up in the courts because if you look at the prior Supreme Court decisions, the 1989 ruling Texas versus Johnson and a reaffirming of that United States versus Etchman in 1990, a year later, where flag burning is protected symbolic speech under the First Amendment, it wasn't very holistic. It was actually very narrowly interpreted. That being said, this executive order kind of works around that and wants the Supreme Court to more broadly look at it. So, again, the executive order signed we're going to dive into it one way or another. And listen, I agree 100%. The Supreme Court has affirmed that burning the American flag is abhorrent as I believe it is. And as much as it angers me, that under certain circumstances, it is protected First Amendment speech. It is. That's the law of the land right now. I 100% believe that. I 100% respect that. Even though I don't agree with it, it is the law of the land. Now, that being said, this executive order signed yesterday, August 25th, 2025, aims to crack down on flag burning by directing the Department of Justice, the DOJ, to pursue criminal penalties against individuals who desecrate the flag despite the Supreme Court decision. And again, that was a 1989 ruling, Texas versus Johnson, and again, 1990 reaffirmation in the United States versus Etchman. The flag burning is protected speech under the First Amendment. The executive order does not and cannot, to be quite honest with you, directly override this precedent, as executive orders cannot supersede Supreme Court rulings. Instead, it attempts to navigate around the constitutional protections by focusing on prosecuting flag burning when it's tied to other crimes or specific circumstances. So here's what this executive order changes and possible implications. Now, one of the implications is to get this before the Supreme Court again. So there will no doubt be court cases on this. So this executive order directs the Department of Justice to prioritize prosecution, instructs the Attorney General to vigorously prosecute flag desecration cases under existing content-neutral laws like disorderly conduct, destruction of property, or open burning violations when the act causes harm unrelated to the expression. So it's looking at the peripheral crimes that could be involved with burning of the flag. It emphasizes prosecuting flag burning that could be interpreted as inciting imminent lawless action. If you are burning the flag not to express your First Amendment right, but to incite a response from others, well, that's not necessarily protected speech. Or constituting fighting words, which are narrow exceptions to First Amendment protections not explicitly covered by Texas v. Johnson. And again, that was the original 1989 case. It refers cases to state and local authorities who also have to abide by the Constitution, right? First Amendment protections. But the executive order directs federal agencies to refer flag desecration cases to state or local prosecutors for potential charges under local laws, even though many such laws have been struck down as constitutionally unconstitutional post the Texas v. Johnson laws. But if there are extenuating circumstances like environmental, there was an individual just yesterday who claimed to be a veteran, very well may be, because I've seen several take a stance, a very hardline stance on this. A matter of fact, a firearms camouflage company that is very adamant in First and Second Amendment rights burned an American flag yesterday and got a lot. Obviously, it was for public relations because they're not a very large company. They do camouflage patterns on firearms. They burnt an American flag and said, this is our right. As much as we don't agree with it, it's our right. But we are First and Second Amendment advocates, and we need to stand up for that. And then a lot of pushback came from people saying, well, I don't see you burning the pride flag. I don't see you burning other flags. I just see you using this as a PR tool. So what they did, and I'll give them credit for the marketing aspect of it, they showed their Amazon cart, where they pretty much purchased every flag you could possibly purchase. They purchased a flag from every country. They purchased a bunch of pride flags, the Black Lives Matter flags, the blue line flag, the red line flag, you name it, they purchased it. And they said they are going to, when they get them all in, have a bonfire because it is their First Amendment right to burn all these flags. And again, this is a small company that's obviously got the attention because of this, and that was the whole point of it. But I did see this veteran, to get back to that story, burn an American flag across the street from the White House at the park that's across the street there. But he used rubbing alcohol to burn that flag. He doused the flag in rubbing alcohol. But what he allowed to do is he left the plastic bottle of rubbing alcohol right next to that flag. And the plastic bottle then caught fire and started burning, creating black smoke. Well, that could be a charge under hazardous material, burning of hazardous material and setting other things on fire. Because not only did you set the flag on fire, you allowed this plastic bottle to catch fire. You get the gist of what I'm saying here. There's other things that could be charged in relation to it. So it refers it to local laws. It targets non-citizens. Now listen, non-citizens do have constitutional protections, even though they're not citizens. But being in America is a privilege, not a right. So you may have rights here as far as what you're doing, burning a flag, if you're a non-citizen, if you're here illegally, or if you're here on a visa or anything else. You may be protected constitutionally, even though you're not a citizen, because constitutional rights do extend to people who are here. They still need to be treated very much the same way, but being here is a privilege, not a right in itself. So if there's any peripheral charges that could that not prosecute you for your act of burning the flag, but your act of targeting a symbol of America could hinder your presence as being a guest in our country. So it also instructs secretaries of state and homeland security, along with the attorney general, to possibly deny visas, revoke residency permits, pursue deportation for non-citizens who desecrate the flag, framing it as a basis for immigration consequences. The executive order explicitly calls for litigation to clarify the scope of the First Amendment exceptions relating to flag burning, signal the intent to test the potential Texas v. Johnson order in the Supreme Court. Now, again, this was in 1989, Texas v. Johnson, and there was a reaffirmation in United States v. Etchman a year later in 1990. But again, it's very narrowly interpreted to just burning the flag for your expression, personal expression. Now, if you're doing it, again, to incite violence, if you're doing it to create a hostile environment, if you're doing it for other reasons, That's what they're looking for clarification on. So that's part of that there. And listen, let's be quite honest. Burning the American flag, they're claiming that it incites violence. And there are a lot of people that would agree with that. You may not. You might say, well, this is protected speech. Well, if someone stood on a street corner and yelled the N-word at every black person that ran by at the top of their lungs and followed them and screamed them and said these things, would that be protected speech? Well, burning the American flag in front of veterans, in front of law enforcement, in front of patriotic Americans could be very infuriating. Are you doing it to simply prove your point, or are you doing it to antagonize them? That's what they're going to be looked at. But what hasn't changed here? Well, constitutional protections remain. The Supreme Court ruling in Texas versus Johnson and the United States versus Etchmin, both 1989 and 1990, still stand, affirming that flag burning is a form of political protest and protected speech under the First Amendment. The government cannot criminalize the act itself without violating the Constitution. No new law has been created. They didn't create – this executive order did not say, well, there's a new section of law that you're going to be arrested now for burning the flag. No. It's looking for peripheral charges to possibly charge someone who wants to do this. And again, if you are burning it for a purely political reason or to express your beliefs personally – you're going to need to articulate that if you choose to do that. If you are doing it in a way that uses some sort of accelerant, like rubbing alcohol, like gasoline, like stuff like that, you just cannot pour gasoline on anything and set it on fire in public. It's just not the way things work. So are there ordinances? Are there rules? Are there laws that you're violating? And again, my personal belief on burning the flag, again, is abhorrent. I think it's disgusting. I think there's no reason to do it. I think there's plenty of other things you can do to prove your point without burning the American flag. You are looking to get a reaction. Now, is that inciting violence? Is that challenging people there in a way that extreme emotion? Like I said, could you stand on a street corner and scream the N-word at every black person that went by, or call names to any racial ethnicity that walked by in derogatory terms and shouted it at everyone that walked by? Sooner or later, someone's either going to punch you in the mouth or someone's going to arrest you. But you could sit there with hundreds of American flags and burn them one after another, and people don't seem to realize that's that. But people have been arrested for burning the pride flag. So make that make sense in my head. How could you get arrested for burning the pride flag if you are just don't believe in that kind of lifestyle? And listen, I have nothing against that. I think that's just as abhorrent as abhorrent as burning the flag, but it is in its own way just as disgusting as burning any other flag. The American flag, I think, you know, holds a status above that because of what it represents. But if someone was burning a pride flag, you know, I would think that's just as disgusting, because there's no reason for that. You can have your personal beliefs. You can have your – without attacking the possible gay community that could be there witnessing that. Just like you could make your point without burning the American flag, where people's children might have died defending that, where people's husbands or wives or fathers or mothers. Take it very seriously. Listen, when I'm at events that I'm at like the Naval Academy, or – when squadrons are coming home from almost a year deployment after very, very seriously having their lives on the line, things that we'll never know about because of the classification of what those missions were, just that there was a very high chance that people weren't coming home from it. Yeah, when I hear that national anthem played, when I see that flag, it means something to me. And if I see someone desecrating that, it's going to make me extremely angry. And just because it's protected speech doesn't mean it's without consequence, because, you know, you may be fine doing that, but somebody else might be fine with taking a misdemeanor arrest for punching you in the face. Again, two wrongs don't make a right. I get that. But there's the level of the incitement, the possibility of violence there, and what changes and doesn't change. So it's interesting to see our media get out and scream and yell and say, oh, he's violating the Constitution. Nothing in this executive order, nothing that was done yesterday violates it. He's basically saying, Let's find ways. This is an abhorrent act. If they're violating any other laws, let's target them and go after that. If you're not here legally, or if you're here as a guest to our nation, that's a privilege. And if you hate this country that much, maybe that privilege will be taken away to where you need to burn your flag. I mean, you go to any other country in the world and you burn one of their flags on their public square and see what happens to you. Now, yes, you're going to say, well, America is supposed to be the country of the free and the home of the brave. I truly believe that, which is why under narrow circumstances, the Constitution, the Supreme Court has said that this is allowed. But again, make it make sense how people are arrested for burning the pride flag, but those very same people could burn the American flag and they're defended all over the nation and by every media organization. You didn't hear you heard crickets when it was the other way around. So this is what this executive order actually does and doesn't do. And that's what I want to explain here. I think it's a public relation spike the football moment that he has every media organization on the left, the mainstream media and Democrats and everywhere, advocating for burning the flag, saying it's a right to burn the flag because it's not resonating with your average American citizen, Democrat, independent, or Republican. Most of these people's grandfathers and fathers fought a war under this flag, love this country, are sitting home listening to this and going, I kind of supported you politically, but if you're going to sit here and advocate for burning the flag, maybe I'm going to look in a different direction. So, again, I think this was done in a large part to have the left side with things that the rest of the nation finds abhorrent. You know, violent, criminal, illegal aliens, criminal crime in our cities, never-ending wars and supporting the war machine, waste, fraud, and mismanagement. Let's keep that going, right? And now let's advocate for burning the flag because the Supreme Court, this has been precedent for three decades since 1990. 34 years.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So, again, I just wanted to clarify what it does say and doesn't say in this executive order and what it actually is doing and isn't doing, because the media is really not doing a good job and it's really not hard to decipher what was said in that executive order and what it actually directed. So I know I ran a little long, but there's the facts for you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, Governor Shapiro now appears to be open, at least, to the using the special transit funding to combat SEPTA cuts as part of the broader package to make the budget become deal. And I remember we talked yesterday that they wanted to take a portion of the sales tax revenue and dedicate it to the transportation systems in both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. The issue there, and Republicans are against that. Republicans in the Republican-controlled Senate don't want that. And I explained it to you, and a lot of you agreed yesterday, that the second you apply a portion or dedicate a portion to that sales tax to transportation that only benefits a small portion of Pennsylvanians, you'll never see that money again. And then the rest of the Commonwealth will have to scrounge for increase in funding from other sources. Now, there's a few billion-dollar budget made for upgrades in infrastructure to the transit fund, the Transportation Trust Fund, and they want to pull $419 million this fiscal year from that fund, which helps cover the agency shortcomings, which is a deficit of about $250 million. So the governor now seems to be more in tune with some kind of deal that gets a budget done. And that seems to be the sticking point. And again, we talked yesterday, it's not school funding. It's not county funding for our social services or anything like that that's holding anything up. It is the transportation funds, where Democrats want a portion of the sales tax to go towards it, and Republicans say, no, you have a almost $3 billion rainy day fund for transportation. Use some of that. And they're like, well, that's for upgrades and future infrastructure maintenance of the facility, not for operational shortfalls. Well, too bad, too sad. Run your organizations better. Live within your means and don't have a $250 million deficit. And then we won't be having these conversations. So it appears the governor is coming along on that. Let's go to the phone now. We have L from Wayne County on the governor. L.
Last night, I was watching, I guess it was YRU 22 or CBS. I'm not sure what time it was or anything. But Jim Haddock was on. And I didn't get everything he was saying. I might have turned the station and only got part of it. But he said something about suspend the governor and the lieutenant governor. Did you hear that?
I did not.
So I wish I would have heard the whole thing, but I wrote that down. I jotted it down. I said, if you talk about Shapiro today, I have to know whether or not you heard that, because I don't know specifically what he meant by that. Suspend the governor and the lieutenant governor. And I think this is the only reason why Shapiro now is getting off his rump and he's going to do something, because now he's getting bad press. And now that Stacey said she was going to run for governor, now he's got to finally do something. And that's not the kind of governor we need in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is different than all these other states. Pennsylvania always fights for what the people think is right. And that's the way it's always been. And he, I think, is an outsider. And we don't need outsiders governing our state. We've had some really good governors in the past, and we've had some really bad ones the last two. So we need to get Stacey in the running and on her way to the governor house.
Well, we'll see how the
election
goes.
In the mansion. Well, yeah, her votes for me. I think she's a fantastic candidate. Everything about that girl I love. And we need somebody that's really going to fight for us, and that's her. She's returned a lot of money of the property, the unclaimed property. She's returned a mess of medals to the families or the people that deserved them, that never got them. So we need somebody that's really going to fight for us Pennsylvanians. And that's my take on her. She's got my vote.
Well, I agree. And it appears, you know, if you look at the last election, she got more votes on a statewide office than any other statewide politician. Now,
well,
obviously, she was running for a different office, but why did more people vote for her than Shapiro?
Because she's got a fantastic bio. I mean, that girl, everything she does the right way. And we need somebody that's going to fight for us in this state.
Well, we'll see
and
where it goes.
I feel it's her. I feel it's her, you know?
All right.
I just love the girl.
Thanks
okay.
Thanks for checking in today.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
It's 5:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back as we start to wind down the Rob O'Donnell show here. Yeah, somebody said Shapiro's an outsider with a question mark. I'm really not sure what was meant by that either. I mean, I think we could all agree he's got outside ambitions outside of Pennsylvania, so maybe that's what was meant there. Somebody says, I got to get a sense of humor. I keep up the serious pace. You're looking at a combo heart attack stroke. Slow it down a little. Smell the cornfields. Oh, I'm good. Don't worry. None of this bothers me. I'm good. I'm in a really good place. So if I seem too involved in the conversation, it's you know, purely momental emotion. There's very little that happens that could really affect my well-being or would I let it. So we'll see. So if you heard during the news break, Southwest Airlines are going to have a new policy that will affect plus-side travelers. Now, they're saying that if you extend past the armrests of an airplane seat, which we all know how they go, That's not very hard to do. You'll have to purchase another seat, or they'll make you at the gate when you're going in. So you know where this is going, right? And this is just purely my speculation, but based on the news reports about this and based on where this is going, do you know when you go to check your bags and you have a carry-on bag and they have that little aluminum setup to where you have to put your carry-on bag in to make sure it fits in that little space? And even if the carry-on is the exact size they say it is, that little frame is, you really have to work to put that in there, even if you're by their guidelines. They are going to have a little aluminum bench that sits there with two armrests, and they are literally going to make people sit in that. You watch. You mark my words. That's the only way. What, are they just going to judge based on appearance as they walk up? Well, that's speculative. You're going to have different people at the gate agents, you know, when you check your bags, when you go in, different people there. You know, some people are going to say one thing, some people are going to say another side. Are there other things involved then? If you're wearing a certain color shirt or maybe a hat with a logo that's not liked on it, are they going to say, well, no, you got to pay for another seat because you don't meet the expectations here? And if you challenge that, what's their metric to know it? Well, they're going to have a little aluminum bench there with armrests that they're going to ask you to sit in. And if you extend just a little bit, you know, they're going to say, well, you got to buy a second seat. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, the price of one airline ticket is expensive these days. You're going to purchase two? Or are people just going to stay away from flying? Say, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. I mean, I'd rather drive most places I'm going because flying is just not convenient to where I need to go. And even if it's a little longer, I'd like to have my car there because I don't want to rent another car. So that's where I think this new airline policy is going as far as do you fit in your seat and not. Just because at every gate agent, they have that little carry-on aluminum structure that you have to put your carry-on in to make sure it fits. So we'll see, but that's where I'm thinking that's going. With the start of school, and if you have started school, we should get in tomorrow who's actually started school already. I mean, all colleges are back at school. And even that, I would take a heads up to this. Watch your social media with your kids going back to school. I know everybody wants to. Listen, I've done it. I do it. I'm an offender just like most. Watch your back-to-school pictures. Watch what you put out there, the information you put out there. Your child's school, what grade they're in, their name, what time the bus picks them up. There's a lot of information out there that you really don't realize you're putting out there. And that goes for college, too. There is a rash, especially people in college, and it happened to one of my kids when they were in the service academy. Someone called up their grandmother with a voice. And this was before AI, so it was amazing that they thought it was my son. And his grandmother thought it was the son, and he said he was in trouble and he needed some money. And she was like, well, why aren't you calling your father? And then realized that something wasn't right because I would be the first call. And they tried, well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble and this and that. But knowing our family, you know, his grandmother was like, no, absolutely not. You need to call your father. And then started to catch on and say, you're not my grandson. And which point they hung up. But it's because things are out there in the social world. In the, how they got who his grandmother was is, you know, just a lot of research that these scammers do. It's public information that they were in the service academy. Their names and where they're from are put out in press releases. It's not kind of hard to track down a family if you're using something like LexisNexis. You know, anyone who's ever been connected to you family-wise or lived near you or used your address for anything, that information is very readily available out there. You may not think it is, but any magazine subscription you ever got, anything that's ever been delivered there, any streaming service that you used your address or anything for, it's all there. It all comes up in these higher-end LexisNexis search, which these scammers do pay for access to. They've also been very good investigation tools for things, to where anyone who's ever used that mailing address will come up on a list, and you can connect, okay, well, this is how they're possibly related. But posting pictures back to the main side of the story here is watch what you post outside. Make sure you share it with just your friends. The other thing is don't friend friends of friends unless you personally know somebody. And listen, I have a lot of followers on social media, but if you look at my friend list, that's very small because my social media, my Facebook specifically, was mainly used for my friends and family. And then when I got this show, I opened it up to followers and public. And most of the stuff, I don't put much private stuff on. Everything I post is more show-related and what I do for here to keep my listeners informed and the community that we built here informed. So, and that includes my family. So I have no issue sharing most of that publicly. But you don't need to. So be careful about who you friend on your social media. And, you know, if friends of friends want to, I mean, first of all, why would a friend of a friend, unless they have some sort of connection with you, want to be your friend? If they're just being nosy or not, who knows? But again, when it comes time to your kids going back to school, everyone takes that back to school picture. I've seen dozens of them already, and they're great to look at for friends, people I know that know me. You don't want strangers looking at those things. You don't want other people looking at those things. You don't want to put things out like your what grade they're in, how old they are, what kid, you know, what school they're going to, what bus they are, their name. Strangers, you are opening the world up to your kids with social media. And it's just a fact that everybody should realize. Keep that as small and as private as you possibly can. You can make posts to where it's just family members. Even though your friends have access to it, they would not be able to see that post. You can make subgroups on your social media. And there are plenty of assets out there to take classes in social media. I know AARP and I know a bunch of other organizations do classes for specific groups like, you know, older people or whatever. If you're a public library, if you approach them and say, hey, can you do can you arrange some sort of seminar at the library for social media and how to protect yourself at social media? I'm sure they, if they're worth anything, would be obliged to do that and glad to do that and have the resources through their county connections to get people to come and speak at these things. But again, with children going back to school, some of them this week, some of them next week, just watch what you put out there and make sure who in the world you're opening that up to. We all know that social media platforms, you've already given them permission to have access to all this. What they do with it and what they don't is in that 895-page terms of service that no one's ever read. We don't know. But who you allow your information to be seen by, that's up to you. And there's a lot of tools. And listen, this time we spend scrolling and looking at utter nonsense, and I'm a big abuser of that as well. Spend some time looking at the settings on your social media. Spend some time looking into, and listen, everything's on YouTube. How do I limit this? How can I just share this with this subgroup or just family members? How can I, there's plenty of things, but peruse your settings. Know what you can and can't do and the tools that are out there to help protect you and your family. Because you don't want to give the wrong person information on that. And this is especially true if you've ever been involved with a nasty divorce or anything in that matter or issues with other families in the schools. You don't want to give them the information or tools that they will use to come at you in any way. So just a little word to the wise with, you know, back to school here. The other thing is drive carefully. You know, school kids are going to be out. Some new kids are going to new schools and don't really know the areas, don't know the bus drop-offs, don't know the pickups in a lot of places. Things may be new. They may be in a new going from elementary to middle school to high school. You're going to have new drivers out, people who just got their driver's license this summer who are going to be taking cars to school and back to school. You know, give a little leeway. Make sure you're under the speed limit. Be aware of your school zones. Pay attention in your school zones. Kids darting out between cars. Just be aware of your surroundings now because, you know, you should be doing this always, but back to school is a time where there's a lot of new, and you don't want a tragic accident or mistake just because something was new and somebody didn't know or you weren't prepared. So on that note too, just be careful driving out there, because again, we'll have new kids coming and going from school. You have new bus drivers with new bus routes that maybe they're not that familiar with. They had one or two test runs with, and maybe they're not really sure, and they'll be a little hesitant. Give them a little break. Make sure you know your school bus rules, that you can't pass, when you can pass, when you shouldn't pass, and give them a little leeway, give them a little time, because they may be new drivers on a new route. They may be experienced drivers who have a new route. And again, new drivers on the road, these high school students who just got their license. Patience, give a little break. We're all friends and family. We're all neighbors in this area we call home. So we'll leave it at that. It's coming up on 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back.
Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Tuesday, August 26, 2025. Tomorrow's Wednesday hump day. After the middle of the week, it's all down from the hill from there, and we did it together. So we'll get through the rest of the week, right? Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. There's some things up on social media already on Facebook, which you don't have to worry about because it's there for everybody, especially that memorial we did for the 13 Marines, sailors, and soldier who died 4 years ago at the Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. So make sure you give that a listen and share it. I appreciate it. 6 o'clock here at WILK. See you tomorrow.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.